goose. Also, we are looking for red feathers. Looking for black feathers. Wonderful. Miss Carol has everything, I guess. We need 3 picnic benches. Is that correct? You got those? 3 picnic benches and a toy zebra. Don't. I'll just stay quiet about that. So we do need green paint and 3 picnic benches. That is wonderful. 3 picnic benches and green paint. We will return to picnic benches. We won't return to picnic benches, but we will not return to green paint. So yes, so if you're disappointed you didn't get the help this time, there's more coming, I'm sure. So probably by Wednesday or next Sunday, we'll have our snack items out there, because we know snacks are important at Kids Crusade, all right? And so snacks are really important, and not only just for the kids, but the adults. They like to eat snacks too. So, okay. Snacks, yes. Okay. Psalms chapter 23. Now, this is one of the favorite passages of many people. Tonight, what we're going to look at is this thought, God will lead me when, and we're going to finish that sentence on 3 different ways. God's going to lead us when, and we're going to fill in that blank here with 3 different things. So Psalms chapter 23, as we look at this, I want you to see where it talks about God leading us. Let's look here in Psalms chapter 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We see that it's God that is leading his sheep, leading us beside the still waters. So it's God that's leading us. He restoreth my soul. Once again, you see in verse number 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I think it was a number of years ago when we looked at this passage of Scripture on Sunday morning, and we went through a series of sermons found from Psalms 23. Tonight, I'd like to think about, just for a few minutes, that we need to let God lead us in our lives. You know, if we have the right vision of God, like we talked about this morning, having the right vision or having the right view of God, we will see him high and we'll see him lifted up. And we will see that we need his help in order to lead us down the paths we need to go. Many times people make a ruin or a mockery of their own lives. They cause hardship on others because of the fact they want to run their own lives. They say, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. But in all reality, if we want to find nourishment and refreshment and satisfaction, it only comes by being led by God. Bible we've been looking at in Galatians chapter 5 on Wednesday night a little bit. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means being led by the Spirit. You're walking and you're following after God. If you walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible's saying that if you let God lead you and you're following after the leadership of the shepherd, you're letting God follow you, you're following him as a sheep would follow its shepherd, you're not going to have a chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It continues on saying, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Here's the thought tonight is, we need to be led of the Spirit of God. We need to be led by God. You know, the Bible says in verses 2 and 3, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, what is the sheep's job? It's to follow the shepherd. And we become so anxious, we become so worried, we become so scared because of the circumstances that are all around us. But if we stay in the presence of the shepherd, it's not going to get away. All our fears and our anxiousness and anxieties aren't going to go away. But if we're in the presence of the shepherd, we realize those things aren't going to affect us. Because our eyes aren't focused on the circumstances, it's focused on the shepherd. So tonight when we look at this, let's think about this for a little while. God will lead me when? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, we really, truly do need you to lead us. We need wisdom from on high. We need to hear from you. And Lord, help us to leave this place understanding that we need you to lead us, that we don't turn to this world for satisfaction and for supply, but instead help us to look to the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one is, God leads me when I submit to the shepherd. God leads me when I submit to the shepherd. Now, here's the thought is, the only way the sheep can be led by the shepherd is when they're willing to submit to his authority. This only time that we can ever be led by God is when we are willing to submit to God's leading and submit to God's authority. The Bible says in Isaiah 58:11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." It's saying that we have the picture of a being like a watered garden. A watered garden is talking about how, and we know it's this summertime area where we see people are getting fruits from their labor, we're seeing people get vegetables. It's the idea that it's been well taken care of, well nourished, and it is responding by growing. And in our Christian walk, as we lean on God and as we let God lead us and let God guide us in our lives, we will then be like the watered garden. We will be growing in our Christian walk. Say, how in the world am I supposed to let God lead me? Let's look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. He's getting ready to bleed and die for our sins, be crucified on the cross. He goes to me, makes an interesting, actually probably a confusing statement to the disciples, but we find it interesting today because we weren't standing there. And in John chapter 16, verse number 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Aren't we thankful that he always tells us the truth? He doesn't candy coat it or sugarcoat it. God in the Bible tells us the truth. Verse number 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient." This word expedient means it is best for you that I go away. Now, the disciples here, they've been told that Jesus is going to be crucified. We see that John chapter 14. We know that they're struggling. They're probably anxious. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We remember all that. And here, just hours or maybe minutes later on, he tells them, "Look, I'm leaving you, and this is what's best for you." And I'm sure what's going through the disciples' mind, how can this be best for me? And he begins to explain to him why this is what's best. And he begins to say that he is going to send another comforter. In all reality, Jesus is not leaving, but instead he is explaining to them the truth. He was continuing with them in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is God, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, coexistent, co-equal, all God. And the Spirit of God was going to be with them. And he is telling them that he is going to live in them. And he is going to let the Holy Spirit of God be the one to lead them and guide them into all truth. Let's keep on going. It says, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." What you get here is that he's saying, look, there's a lot of things that I want to teach you, but you're not able to receive those now. There's a lot of pathways that I'm going to lead you into, but you can't handle the information now. Sometimes people say, I wish God would just show me the whole ball of wax. Let me see what I'm going to have to face. Let me understand everything that's going to happen to me in my life. But the reality of it is, we're not going to be able to handle all that. As we follow and let God lead us, he takes us and he makes us be able to do things we never thought we could do. We see deaths in people's families. We see sicknesses and we see disease coming. And we think, there's no way I can handle this. This is above me. The truth is, God pushes us to our limits. So we can learn that he has to lead us because there's no way we can make it on our own. Here, we think of how in this last portion of verse number 12, where it says, ye cannot bear them now. It's this idea of if as a parent would like to teach his child all that it wants to know, all that it needs to know at one time. But we know this doesn't work that way. We teach them little by little. It's a daily process. Sometimes it's a moment by moment process. Like us as Christians, we grow day by day as we feed on God's word and commune with Christ our Savior. But it says in verse number 13, he says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." In other words, the Lord Jesus was saying, I want to share so many things with you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He will constantly teach you what you need to know and help you to grow as a believer. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. You know, as we ask Jesus Christ into our heart to save us, we are looking for a life that is going to be fruitful. All of us want to have a good life. All of us want to enjoy our Christian walk. But the only way that we can find enjoyment and secret in growing in the Christian life is when we are willing to yield to the Spirit of God. It's when we are willing to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, there's a couple examples that's found in this in the Bible. And here's a couple of things. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles here and let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I know we're turning a little bit tonight, but I think there's a couple of things that can help you. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible gives us an illustration. It teaches us about pastors here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And when we look at this, I want you to understand that if you're going to be a leader, you have to be led of God. If you try to lead on your own, you know what's going to happen is you make your life, for those that are following you, miserable. So this is what he's saying. To be a true leader, we have to submit to the shepherd. Here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, look what it says in verse number 1. It says, and this is referring to those that want to be a pastor or a bishop. It says, this is a true saying, if a man desired the office of a bishop. Now we believe, according to what the Bible teaches, as we hear the word bishop, elder, pastor, they're all talking about the same office, just different views of that office. He desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, and husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Now look at this next one. It says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now you take notice of that word ruleth. Now, that word is a little too difficult for some people that live in today, the time and period that we live in. You know, some people don't see the husband as being the head of the house. What it means by saying ruleth, it means he is not supposed to be a tyrant, but he is supposed to lead. He is supposed to be the one that leads. But you know what? How can a person be leader unless he is led by the Spirit of God? Because if he's not led by the Spirit of God, the people he is leading is going to be miserable. Happiness and satisfaction is found in submitting to the shepherd. Now you continue on, you take your Bible and go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. In 1 Timothy chapter number 5, you see this also, this example that's given. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, look what it also says in verse number 17. It said, let the elders that rule well count it worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, once again, you got this word ruleth again, rule well. And this is referring to the pastor's responsibility of how a church is supposed to be pastor-led. Now, does that mean he's supposed to be a tyrant? No, we looked at and learned that in Sunday school class this morning. He's not supposed to act as a dictator, but he is supposed to be the leader of the church. He's supposed to be the under-shepherd of the church. But how can a pastor lead unless he is led by the Holy Spirit of God? Because you know what's going to happen when a pastor tries to lead without being led? It's going to be a horrible experience. The people that are supposed to be following is going to revolt. The people that they're going to see through it. Now, this is not written for the pastor's sake. This is not written for the husband's sake, so they can show authority that they have over somebody else and try to force someone into a submission. But instead, this is just an idea of how we're supposed to show that we're willing to be submissive and willing to be submissive to God's authorities in our lives. Happiness is a byproduct of obedience. You will never be happy unless we're willing to submit to the shepherd. In order for the shepherd to lead us, we must be submissive to his will for our lives. Who knows more about our lives than the shepherd? You know, I don't have any idea how to run a church, except for what the Bible tells me. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's in the future of our church. But as I lean on God and as I let the Holy Spirit lead me into all spirit of knowledge and truth, that's how we will head on as a church. And husbands, sometimes they like to jump up and down and say, hey, look, I'm the man. I'm the ruler of this house. I'm the lead. And they point to those verses. They miss the point about being the supposed to be loving their wife as loving the church. They miss the point of the fact that they need to let the Holy Spirit of God lead them so that way they don't ruin the lives of those that are trying to follow behind them. Some people say, I'm going to run my own life. I'm going to be the ruler of myself. I'm not going to let anybody be the boss of me. Then we're never going to find what we see in Psalms 23. What do we see in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When we try to rule our own lives, we're going to spend a lifetime of wanting. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. If we try to do things our own way and we do not submit to the Holy Spirit of God and we don't submit to the shepherd, we're never going down those pathways of righteousness. When he talks about, he leadeth me beside the still waters, a place where I can find nutrition and satisfaction. When a person says, I'm going to rule my own life, I'm not going to submit to the Lord, I'm not going to submit to his authority in my life, we're never going to find the satisfaction that we need. God will lead us when we are willing to submit to the shepherd. Tonight, are we submissive to the shepherd? I know we use those illustrations as the husband. I know we use the illustrations of the pastor. Those are just a couple of different authorities, but children, think about it to your parents. Mom and dad, moms in the room that have their children that they're supposed to help lead their children and guide them and teach them and nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's going to be a miserable life for your kids unless you're willing to first give your submission to the shepherd. The only way that God's going to be able to lead you and bring you beside those still waters and bring you down those paths of righteousness is when we are first willing to say, I submit, I give up, I give in. I have the right vision and the right view of God. And as I see God, I know that I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need you to lead me so I can help lead someone else. Second thing is that not only God will lead me when I submit to the shepherd, but let's go back to Psalms 23 once again. Second thing is God will lead me when I get my supply from the shepherd. When I get my supply from the shepherd. What do you mean, Pastor? You know, he says here, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, life without water is impossible. He supplies us with the water we need. Now, let's go back to this illustration in Psalms 23 about being sheep and a shepherd. Almost 70% of the sheep's body consists of water. Water is necessary for every bodily function. If the sheep does not get the water he needs, his body will not function properly. But here's the key. It is not up to the sheep to find the water. It is the shepherd's job to find the water. The sheep has no sense of direction. When the sheep goes out on their own, looking for their own water, looking for their own nourishment, they get themselves in trouble. They open themselves up to a world of danger and open themselves up to a world of things that will not satisfy them. The shepherd must lead the sheep to the still waters. These are still waters. They're not raging waters. The raging waters can take the life of the sheep. When a sheep doesn't know the difference and tries to drink out of raging waters, it can fall in the water and lose his own life. But the shepherd knows where to take the sheep. It leads him by the still waters. Shepherd provides three different ways of sources for the sheep. And I know you're saying, oh, great, we're getting less on being a shepherd. There's three different things. Number one, sometimes the shepherd finds the water from a deep well. And many times God takes us to that deep well, and our shepherd works tirelessly to get the water to us. It may look dark in a troublesome place, but there seems like there no water can be found. But in that deep well, there is water for us. And he takes us to it, and he gets the water out for us. Sometimes it might look like we don't understand the pathway he's taking us to, but God sometimes takes us to those deep wells and those dark places. Also, water is found in streams and springs. The sheep can drink freely from the cool, refreshing water. And one other source of water that I know is for the sheep is dew. You say dew? I'm told that the sheep can, for prolonged periods of time, never drink from a well or a stream or from a spring if they get up early enough to eat the dew off the vegetation. The sheep can eat the lush vegetation covered in dew and find all the water they need. To get to the water, they must arrive early in the morning before the heat of the day burns off the dew. See, the shepherd must take them to find a place to graze where the dew can be found upon the lush vegetation. Early in the day, before the heat of the sun, he leads the sheep to the place where they can walk among the dew-covered grass and vegetation and get the water they need. You say, what can we learn from this? It's not the sheep, but the shepherd who leads us to our supply. See, it's not our job to find the things we need. It's our job to follow after the shepherd, and the shepherd leads us to those places we need. John 7:37, the Bible says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirsts, thirst is a gift from God. The sheep knows that their body needs water because they get thirsty. And we have a physical thirst that sometimes we quench the thirst with things that are not very hydrating. Did you know there's different things that you can drink that actually dehydrate you? And this is the idea here, is when we as sheep go off and we look for the places to satisfy us and meet our supply, and we actually dehydrate ourselves because of the fact that we are drinking of the things that does not provide the hydration we need. They don't provide water for us. They actually take the water from our bodies. Many times soda. Sometimes when you're out and you're running, you want to get home and you want to drink something. I don't know about you, but here's my logic. If I'm trying to lose weight, if I burn off calories while I'm exercising, I can go in and drink a soda because I'm thirsty because I've burned off all those calories. But you know what that soda is going to do? That soda is going to make me dehydrated to where I'm going to want more of the drink. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink more soda. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to build up more calories. It's going to hurt me more than it ever would help me. And in our spiritual life, God gives us thirst, and so often we try to quench it, that thirst, with the dehydrating things instead of hydrating things. So many times we will turn to this world and we will never find satisfaction. We will never find what God really wants for us. Actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to harm ourselves. The Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What does this word drink mean? It means to accept, to believe, to take. And here, if we're ever going to be led of the Holy Spirit of God, first we have to submit to the shepherd. Secondly, we have to trust the shepherd for our supplies. We can't be running to and fro looking for us to supply our needs. But instead, as we follow the leadership of the shepherd, we allow him to bring us to the wells. We allow him to bring us to the rivers and the streams. And we allow him to bring us to the dew. I think it was kind of interesting when they consider that dew in the morning time. It reminds me of the Word of God and how many times if we will get up early in the morning, we will saturate our bodies with the Word of God and our spiritual lives with the Word of God to where we can live that day being led by the Holy Spirit of God. But if we don't get up early enough and we do not give the Lord enough time as we read our Bibles and as we pray, we walk around that day dehydrated, looking for other things to satisfy our needs, looking for the things of this world, looking for the pleasures, and looking for whatever it is that Satan comes and says, here, drink this. Here, take this. Because we have not been hydrated by the Word of God and been led by the Spirit of God, we turn looking for our supply from somewhere else. And in the end, those things hurt us. The third thing I want you to get is, not only will the shepherd, not God will lead us when we submit to the shepherd and when we get our supply or trust our shepherd for the supply, is when we are satisfied with the shepherd. We are satisfied with the shepherd. And we'll close with this. To be satisfied, the sheep must drink the water. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know what? There's water sitting right here. It doesn't taste the greatest, but it's sitting here. It's that water from the sink back there. But if you're really, really thirsty, you know what? You could get quench your thirst there. And I know there's water sitting there. And if I was really thirsty, me knowing that there water is there, is that going to quench my thirst? No. What do I got to do? I got to drink of the water. You know, just because people say, I know that. Sometimes when I try to repeat scripture to people, they come to me with a need or a problem. They say, oh, I know that, Pastor. I've heard that before. I believe that. But you know what? They're not satisfied. You want to know why they're not satisfied? It's because they've never taken it for themselves. They never drank it into their lives. They never believed the Lord. They did not go out and get the water and take it in. for every clear, cool drink God has for us, the devil rushes up with something else to try to satisfy us. Only the Lord can truly satisfy us. And the sheep, they're not the smartest animals in the world. You know, just because we know there's water and just because we know there's help for us here, and until we take it in and find satisfaction and faith in this, we're never going to be satisfied. The sheep travel through places where there are sometimes holes dug in the earth. As they walk through the water, many times they'll even use excretions and use the bathroom and their waste in the water. This disgusting mixture sometimes is mingled with mud, and the sheep don't know any better. The sheep will drink that, not thinking it's going to harm them. It's sort of like when my dog is outside and it's sitting, and after it's rained, they see water sitting inside the little potholes around my house or in the ditch. Not clean water, dirty water. You know, there's snakes inside those ditches sometimes. You know, there's all types of things that live inside those ditches. It's dirty. They got clean water sitting in the house. Sometimes they even get the water from the refrigerator, you know, the purified water. If they're really lucky, if there's a little water left from one of our water bottles, we'll pour it in there for them. They get a real treat. You know what? They're not smart enough to realize that there's any difference between the two waters. Sheep aren't any smarter than that. They can't realize that, hey, muddy water that they maybe some of the other sheep have used in the bathroom, used their own bathroom in there, that they'll just drink whatever water they're brought to. He said, what are you getting at, Pastor? See, the Lord does not want us to drink water that's been contaminated with the things of this world. He desires for us to be satisfied with the spiritual thirst, with the clear, cool drink of heaven he has for us. But so many times we have gone to the contaminated waters of this world and we try to drink up what Satan offers to us and says, here, drink this. This will make you happy. This will satisfy you. And let me ask you, when you've lived your life for yourself, have you really truly found satisfaction? When you've done what you believe is best and you've done what you believe is right, have you found the satisfaction that only God can give? I can tell you the times I've been happiest in my life, the times that I can say that I have found satisfaction are those times when I've submitted myself to God, taken my hands off and said, Lord, it's not something I can do. I need you to lead me and I need you to guide me. I need you to fulfill my supply and to fulfill my satisfaction. That's when I found happiness. I spent many years of my life looking for satisfaction in things and with friendships and with pleasures and with activities. But true satisfaction, having a clean heart and conscience standing before God, knowing that I've served him to my best, there's no greater feeling. And there's no real true satisfaction. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living water. They're talking about Christ here, that they've forsaken Christ, the fountain of living waters. There is no other place for them to get the living water that the shepherd leads them to. They've forsaken them, and that was the first evil. The second evil was that they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that could hold no water. What the Bible's saying is they try to create places to get water. They try to hew out places and catch and hold water, but they were broken and could not hold the water that they so desperately needed. And so often we tried to turn to so many other areas, trying to find the water that we desperately need. Remember, the sheep, 70% of its body is water. If it does not have the water it needs, it does not function properly. And the reason why Christians today do not function the way that they are supposed to is because they are not getting the nourishment that only the shepherd can offer. Our souls need to be fed from the fountains, streams, springs, and deep wells, and early morning dew that only Jesus Christ can provide. Often people say Bible-believing Christians are radical and they're off the wall. All you talk about is straight living. But what we need to do is let God divide us and to discern for us and separate from us all the unfit water and lead us to those still waters, because they are what's going to satisfy us. You say, Pastor, you talk a lot about sheep and shepherds. I don't get what you're trying to say. Well, here's what it all boils down to. If you really, truly want to be satisfied in your life, first thing you got to do is submit. Lay down yourself to God and say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of trying to making things my own way. You might say, hey, no one's going to rule over me. I tell you, whoever you're trying to lead is probably miserable today because of the fact that you're not being led. Second thing is we need to trust the shepherd for our supply. So often we go out trying to find the things to meet or and quench our thirst and quench the desires and the thirst that God gives us. But just as dumb as it is for me to drink a Pepsi after I play basketball, thinking that's going to quench my thirst, it's just as dumb for you to think as a Christian and a child of God with the Holy Spirit of God living inside you that you can turn to this world and think that that's going to meet the supplies that you need. And thirdly, we have to learn to be satisfied. Say, Pastor, I've heard all this before. Yes, yes, I get it. I need to be led by the Spirit of God. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, have you taken a drink of it? It's not enough to know that there's water sitting there. It's not enough to know that there's food sitting out there for a starving person. The knowledge of it will never quench and will never satisfy the need that you have. You have to partake of it. And many of us, as we get this proper vision and view of God, we'll never take of it. We'll never even try because we think we're okay. But satisfaction's only found when we're willing to trust the shepherd. Because what's the first verse say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means that I'm satisfied because I've submitted to the shepherd. I followed his leading. I followed his guidance. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear evil. Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Those things that other people would look at and say, oh, you're being cruel to the sheep. You beat the sheep or you pull the sheep back. No, I see what God is doing. And I see that those are things that he uses to help guide me and lead me. And those are the things that I look to and comfort. Christian, tonight, if you really, truly want to be led by God, you got to submit first. You got to lay down your weapons and say, okay, Lord, it's all you. And you got to trust him for your supply. And then you have to be satisfied with what he gives you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Tonight, I wonder, are you being led by God? I know all of us, probably in one form or another, have some type